so good. So good. We're going to go back into worship in a little bit, but we're going to do a little bit of teaching. So if you want to go ahead and have a seat, we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So fascinating to me. The Holy Spirit, I just want to remind you all, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a third part of the Trinity. He is God and God alone. And I think sometimes we can say, oh, the Holy Spirit is so weird, you know, those things that represent who Christ is and who the Holy Spirit is. They left with the last apostle. We've heard these teachings. I've heard them my whole life. And I'm just feisty enough to be like, show me in the Bible where that happened. And not one person has been able to show me that. Not one great theologian. Not one person. And I'm here to tell you that's because he's God. And God has not left us. He has not forsaken us. He is here. He doesn't leave your side. Did you know that? Isn't that good news? That you do not just get to walk this earth on your own, but if you said yes to Jesus and you made him the Lord of your life, that the Holy Spirit is the ambassador of your heart, that he's the one that leads us and guides us. He's the one that shows us things to come. He's creative. Did you know that? He's a part of the creative part of who God is. So many times I will sit in a room with the Holy Spirit and say, can you show me? I sat in this room and I looked at this carpet and I said, what do I do? It's turning out really bad and I need you to show me what to do. And he gave me a vision of the carpet and he told me he didn't want me to change it, but he wanted me to change the colors. Because I don't know if you know this, but there's little angels in this carpet. And he began to show me at Christmas all the beautiful ways to celebrate his name. Why? Because he wants us to see his glory in everything we do. And your lives reflect the glory of God. And I think sometimes we forget that we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can say, oh, you know, I'm just a mess, and oh, I'm unworthy. But I'm here to tell you, would you stop calling yourself unworthy? Because that cross made you worthy. Stop calling yourself not good enough, because he made you good enough, and in him you are all things. And God has given us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit left us. The Holy Spirit has not left us, but Jesus left us the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus thought the Holy Spirit was so important that he said, I must leave that a greater one must come. Wow. Jesus himself knew how important the Holy Spirit would be for us nowadays in this very moment. And so let's learn about what the Holy Spirit offers us. Did you know he gives us gifts? I've heard so many people talk about, well, the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit are the same thing. They are not the same thing. The fruit of the Spirit is given to us, yes. And that's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And those fruits of the Spirit are what produce a character in us that is Christ-like. But the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And guys, these are supernatural gifts. These are not gifts you can do apart from him. They're not going to look normal. You're not going to be able to explain them to people. You're going to just have to have faith to walk in them and to live them out. What is faith? Faith is believing in what you cannot see. There's different types of faith. And so we're going to get into that tonight, because we're going to talk about the gift of faith tonight. We've talked about many of them. We've talked about word of knowledge. We've talked about word of wisdom. We've talked about the gift of healing. We've talked about discerning of spirits. But tonight we're going to talk about the gift of faith. And so go with me to 1 Corinthians. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 12. And it says, now concerning these spiritual gifts, brethren. Who is brethren? Are you the brethren? That's right. I do not want you to be ignorant. In modern day language, don't be stupid. You know that you were Gentiles. How many Gentiles do I have in the room? Right? If you do not have Jewish blood in you, you are a Gentile. And it says, carried away by dumb idols, however you were led. He's talking to the Corinth church. Let me just lay this out for you. The Corinth church was a mess, because they had the Jewish people and then they had the Gentiles. And in their temples, they had gods, and they had gods of sex, and they would go and have sex with people in their temples. You go, what? Yeah, so they're really confused about what's right and wrong. So Paul is straining these things out for the church. He's going, don't engage in these things. Don't be a part of these things. He does this all through the book, but here he's talking to them, and he's defining for them, this is who you are, this is what you have. Don't get confused with the things of this world. Just like today, don't get confused with the language of this world. Don't be confused by the idols of this world. What can idols of this world look like to us right now? It could be the music you're listening to. It could be the person you follow in politics, and you're worshiping them so much that you're not in faith over whatever God wants to do. His name would be made famous. He will have the bottom line to this. How about this? It could be that boyfriend or that girlfriend. Oh, you think about them so much more than you think about God. And that's sin. Nobody should ever take the place of God. No one. In fact, if your relationship is not where you are leading each other to Christ, I'm here to tell you, you're in a dangerous position. Because God will not have any idols. He will not have an idol above himself. And so they were following these other ways of life. Very easy for us to get distracted in other ways of life. You guys can be caught up in whatever somebody, the next person says, off with the next wave of doctrine, off with the next wind that flies by. But I'm here to tell you, stay anchored, church. And this is what he's saying to them. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. That means those that are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit can speak the name of Jesus. Why? Because they are born again. They are of Christ. They know who he is. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Did you know we're all a little different? Isn't that good news? I'm glad we're all not the same. Because guess what happens when we're not all the same? We began to work together and we began to build each other up. And I learn from you and you learn from me. And maybe we rub each other and sparks start flying and you go, well, that's not good. That shouldn't happen in church. But I'm here to tell you, oh yeah, iron sharpens iron. Even the hard places make us sharper. Even the hard things that we have to go through with each other make us sharper. Why? For the battle that's in front of us. We need each other. So when there's conflict or when there's problems, so many times for some reason after 2020, everybody just ran. There's conflict. I'm out of here. I don't want to confront. We as Christians, oh, I'm just never going to say anything to somebody. But here's God saying, hold on. I made you all different because I need you all to work together. But not just that, I'm going to give you different gifts too. And you're not going to understand this about each other, but you're going to have to just trust that when they speak and the Holy Spirit is speaking through them, that I am working. You see, God wants to work through you. God wants to partner with you. The Spirit of God is just not gone. He hasn't left us. He hasn't abandoned us. He's right here waiting to use us. He's right here wanting to put us to work. He's right here saying, I have somewhere for you to be, and I need you to be on time. Pastor Dan talked about this beautiful moment him and Pastor Antonio had with this guy that they went to lunch with just the other day. He was not a Christian. And they sat with him, and Dan said he was geeking out when he drove home because he just heard the Spirit of God say to him that Jesus ate with sinners. They were in that moment at that right place for that moment in that season, and Pastor Antonio was able to pray with that man. What was it? That was the witness of the Holy Spirit to that man. You see, God wants to use us. The Holy Spirit is active. He is alive. So these diversities of the gift are different, but they're of the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries. Now, can I just talk about the gifts of the Spirit? Satan is not stupid to this. Can we just talk about this for a second? Especially with Halloween around. Satan is not dumb to the gifts of the Spirit. He knows the power of God, and he knows his is a counterfeit power, and he knows God's is a real power. So what he does is he has his own version of whatever God does. And it's weak, and it's feeble, and it does not hold. But the power of God holds and changes, and it does not manipulate, but it strengthens, it grows, and it empowers, it restores, and it reconnects humanity back with Christ. Now, Satan's power will disconnect, rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And it will always be a counterfeit to God's power. I've actually casted demons out of people and heard them speak in tongues, but that was a false tongue, not the tongue from the Holy Spirit. That was a tongue from Satan. So don't be deceived, church. You have to be in the Spirit of God. You have to know your Father. You have to know the Holy Spirit so that when you are confronted with something demonic that looks similar to some of these gifts that we've been talking about, you go, that's fake. That's a false spirit. And you are able to discern between that. That's the discerning of spirits. All right, sorry. I'm just going off. Okay, there are diversities of gifts of the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So when God gives us gifts, guess what they're for? Not you, but they're for everybody in the body of Christ. Why? Because God isn't just doing something in us and through us for us, but he does it to bless the body of Christ and to be a witness to those that do not know him, because God is wanting to save people from hell. You see, God is on a rescue mission right now. And if you don't know what your purpose is here on life, in life, I'm here to tell you that if you are a born-again Christian, you are on mission to save people from hell. You are on mission to be his mouthpiece. You are on mission to tell someone of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you may say, how do I do this? Well, you may need what we're about to talk about. And it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit all. And for the one given of wisdom through the Spirit, which we talked about, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, faith of the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing, which we talked about, and to another, the working of miracles, which we will talk about, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, which we talked about, and different kinds of tongues, and another, interpretation of tongues. I can show you how that works. But one, the same Spirit, all works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. We're going to talk about, to another, the faith by the same Spirit. There is a gift of faith that God will give us. Now, I thought, excuse my voice, I'm losing it. I literally have been like trying not to talk for 2 days, so I could do tonight. And so if it goes, just forgive me. But there was this picture that I saw, and I'm reading all the scriptures on faith. In church right now, I can't say to you big enough that God is saying, stir up your faith, church. Shake yourself up, church. I need you to believe me for the impossible, church. I need you to get yourselves back into faith that I am God and I am God alone. I need you to trust that I am going to come through even when you feel like, where are you, God? Trust me. I felt like God wanted me to tell you that some of you have been so broken and you feel so defeated. But God is saying, stir up your faith. This is your job to do. Not his job to do in you. He's already done everything and given you everything you need. But he's saying it's your job now to meet him there. And where do you meet him? You meet him with faith. There's different types of faith. Oh man, I could preach 10 million messages on faith. In fact, while I was studying today, I had to tell myself, stop it. Stop reading all the scriptures. Don't go there. You're not teaching a Bible college class. And so I'm just going to quickly, just simply try and give you a visual of what this looks like. You can get into your word and you can read about faith. But there's all different types of faith. And there's the faith. What is the faith? The faith is our Christian faith. It is the faith in Jesus Christ, right? And then there's the faith that we need to receive salvation, the gift of grace. We have to have faith to receive the grace of God for our salvation. That's a gift. That's something God gives us. We have that. And then we have the simple faith, that as we read the word of God, that we begin to build it into our spirit man, and our faith of God gets to be built up with more that we read. It's the simple faith of God. It says that in Romans that you have faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, right? But now what we're talking about is different than all of those faiths. What we're talking about is the gift of faith. Now, the gift of faith is something that supernaturally happens, that God will put on you in an instant and in a moment to believe God for something totally impossible. You say, oh my goodness, what does that look like? That looks like the seats you're sitting in right now. I remember my parents when they were disturbed by God, and he said, you got to go build this building. You got to build it. And I remember my dad going, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know where the money's going to come from, but we're going to build this building. And he stood and he believed it and declared it in faith. And that was a gift of faith on him to build what we're sitting in now and what your children get to reap from today. That was a gift of faith. It was a gift of faith when, I was thinking about this, when David saw Goliath and they were all, ooh, afraid of Goliath, and David's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I mean, we all call it courage, but man, he had to have some faith in who God was to go up against that giant and sling one little, like, pebble and ping him in the head, knock him out and kill him and cut his head off. You see, it takes some great faith. That doesn't just come out of nowhere, guys. That comes from the Holy Spirit, who puts it upon us when we need it at the right time. And so sometimes you can feel so defeated. And you might think, where are you, God? But I'm here to tell you the Holy Spirit is there. And he wants to partner with you. And he wants to use you. But you have to be open and willing and ready for what it is he wants to drop on you, because he's going to ask you to believe God for the impossible. I myself have been in these places. Losing my dad has brought me to a dark place. Losing my, when I had surgery for breast cancer, still believing God for another lump to go away. But listen, I haven't gotten my eyes off God. I haven't lost my faith in who he is. My dad's where he needs to be. I have no questions about it, because he's just and he's sovereign. That man was tired and he slid into home base and he was done. And you know what? I hope that I get to do that one day. Now, dealing with the process of not having him anymore is hard at times. But I'll tell you something. Something stirs in me, and I get this gift of faith in me. Like, nah, keep going. Keep going. Come on. What would your dad say to you? He'd say, get going. I don't want you thinking about me. I'd want you getting out there. Tell someone about Jesus, Jess. So I'm here to tell you, church, you could get stuck in sadness. You could get stuck in grief. You could get stuck in loss. You could get stuck in what wasn't. Or you could step into the Holy Spirit and stir up your faith and ask God, God, I am still here. You know who I am. I'm not done. I know you're not done with me. So what do you got for me, Holy Spirit? You see, the disciples were trying to cast demons out. And they were asking Jesus, they said, why weren't we able to cast these demons out? And Jesus in Matthew 17 says, he says, it's because your lack of faith. You see, you might be getting attacked right now and tormented. You go, where are you, God? Where's your faith, daughter and son? Have you put your faith in Christ, or are you putting your faith in sadness and worry and fear and anxiety and all the things that are speaking louder? What is the loudest thing speaking into your life? You got to fill your spirit man up. You got to listen to worship music. You got to listen to messages. You got to get your butt into church when you don't feel like it. Well done, Sunday night people. You got to stir yourself up. That when you don't want to love somebody, you go out of your way and love them anyways. Not because they deserve it, but because he does. And because you are a disciple of Christ walking in love. You see, all of this begins to stir the pleasure and the faith of God in your life. And all of a sudden, God goes, ooh, okay, now I'm going to use them. Now I'm going to give them a gift of faith. Now I'm going to drop something supernatural on their life. Now I can use them for greater things, greater measures, greater places. You see, if you felt stuck, I'm here to tell you, stir up your faith. If you feel like you haven't gone anywhere in life, stir up your faith, church. Start to believe God for impossible things again. When's the last time you believed him for something great? God is asking you to stir it up because he's ready to answer you there. He says that it is because of your lack of faith. I promise you that if you have faith inside of you no bigger than a small of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, move from here and go over there, and you will see it move. There is nothing that you couldn't do. Listen, church, it is that gift of faith that says to that mountain, move. It is that gift of faith that says that you are healed by the stripes on the cross when you get the bad report from the doctor. It is that gift of faith that when grief wants to overcome and take you out, you say, no, you will not take me out. I will stand and I will serve God for the rest of my days until my day comes. It is that gift of faith that keeps you going even when the world around you is falling apart. It is the gift of faith that revitalizes us. It's the gift of faith that expands the universe and expands the kingdom of God. Guess how he does it? Through you. Through you. It's on time and on purpose. Smith Wigglesworth. He was a mighty, crazy man of God. If you read his stories, man, this guy, his wife would always be afraid. Like, when he would start ministering, she'd be like, oh, no, what's he going to do? He used to, like, punch people, and, like, tumors would fall off. And, I mean, he was just, like, a crazy man. And he went to pray for this man the night before he was not doing well. And he just heard from God, no, he's supposed to live. Well, through the night, the man dies. So Smith Wigglesworth gets word of this, and he's like, oh, no. That he had a gift of faith. He knew what he heard from God. He walked into that man's room and he said, arise and live, arise and live, arise and live. Guess what happened? The man arose and walked out of that room and he was healthy and strong. What happened? He had a gift of faith on him. There was a move of the Spirit through him. So God then gave that man a miracle of raising from the dead. So there was a gift of miracles happening there. And then there had to be a gift of healing in order for him to be able to walk too. So there are three gifts operating in the middle of that one gift. A lot of times when you do and operate in the gift of faith, there's usually miracles and healing connected to it. I'm looking at my sister right now. I wasn't going to tell this one. But I remember my sister loves animals so much, like more than people. Let's pray for her. And so her dog got very, very, very sick. And she loved this dog. I don't know why, but she loves this dog. And this dog was like everything to her. And I remember it looked like this dog was going. Like, in fact, so much so that my mom went and bought another dog. So as soon as that dog died, she could give that dog to her. I ended up with that dog. And she's crazy. I don't know how I ended up with her. Anyways. So, because Kim had so much faith, now I have a stupid dog now. And so, I remember Kim telling me, I don't know what mom's talking about. I'm not listening to her. I know God's healing my Chewy. And she just would lay hands on him, and she'd believe. I mean, this was days and days and days went by. And she was just like, no, God's healing him. I'm up all night and praying for him because God told me he's going to heal him. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, all right, Kim. So many times people look at you from the outside, even Christians, and you're going to just have to ignore them. Because when you have a gift of faith, you keep going in what God told you to do. And let me tell you, Chewy got better. He got healed. That dog's still alive. And now my other dog is very old. And so I'm just here to tell you, God even moves in you something as simple as your animals. Because he cares about everything. He cares about everything. I had a friend who was sitting on the beach one day. I'm going to tell you some stories to build your faith. Is this okay? She was sitting on the beach. She was minding her own business. And a young man was in the water, and he drowned. The paramedics, everybody's freaking out. She's watching this whole thing go out before her. And she's just like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. How sad. He's not breathing. He's not. And it had been, like, at least 5 minutes. And she heard the Spirit of God say to her, get up and go lay hands on him and raise him from the dead. She thought she was crazy. She's like, I'm just out here trying to get some sun. And she was like, oh, my goodness, you want me to go to that group of people that I do not know and lay hands on him? She said, okay, sir, I will do it, because that's how much she knew her God. And so she walked up to this group of people, and she said, do you mind if I pray for him? And the mom was like, please, please. And she laid hands on him. This little boy began to breathe. And then he began to walk afterwards. He was raised from the dead. He was not breathing. He was dead. And God raised him from the dead, from just a Christian sitting on the beach, ready to do what God had put into their heart. Guys, how much does God want to do through you? How much does God want to give you a gift of faith to start a business? A gift of faith to believe God for the impossible? What about a union and marriage that is beautiful and you're all up in your head like, I got to have this together and this together and this together. What if they're going, God's saying, just would you get married so that I can bless you? You see, that was Dan and I. Everybody was like, but you don't have all this together. And I'm like, but we know we're supposed to be together. We just had a gift of faith to get married and take off to Bible college 2 weeks later. I'm so glad we did. I'm here to tell you, when God drops a gift of faith on you, nobody can talk you out of it. You'll know it's God. And when it happens, you just get in faith. You begin to stir up that gift of, how do I use this gift of faith? Go find scriptures. This is what I want you to do. I want you to find scriptures on that subject, and I want you to begin to declare. When you speak the word over the subject matter, it begins to release the power of God over it, okay? And then get people on your team that are on your side. I remember my sister saying, come on, Jess, I need you to pray with me. I was like, okay, I will. But I don't want that other stupid dog. And she's like, just pray with me. And so we prayed, and that dog got healed. I'm here to tell you tonight, I know that God is in control of your life, but he's not just in control of your life for you. He's in control of your life so he can use you to bless others, so he can manifest his presence and his glory through you, so others will know of God's goodness. We are a church alive. He is not dead. He's not gone with the last apostle. He is more alive now than he's ever been. And he is waiting to return for his bride. And so tonight, I believe God wants to use you. So I want to pray over you. I want to pray that God does something in you in this next few weeks, that you will know that God will give you a gift of faith, and that you'll be challenged to actually live it out and walk it out in your life. I don't know what that's going to look like. Maybe it's going to be for a job. Maybe it's going to be for, you know, maybe you're going to run into somebody on the street and God's going to ask you to pray for them and you're like, whoa, I don't want to do that. But just do it. Be faithful. See what God does. Maybe it's you are a witness in a car accident or there's something that happens and you are right there on the scene and you're the Christian that's available. You see, you are on time and on purpose. And so I want to pray over you that God will begin to give you a peace to accept what it is he wants to ask you to do. Okay? So everybody raise your hands. And Lord, we just thank you that God, you're going to come and do something new in us. And the Holy Spirit, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit that you're using your church in. Thank you for the body of Christ that we get to be and that you get to use. So Spirit of God, we ask that as we stir up our faith and we get closer to you and we learn your word and we begin to build our faith, that you will open doors for us to receive the gift of faith this week and the week after and the week after and the week after. Lord, we ask God that out of that gift of faith that we will see signs, miracles, and wonders of healing. And Lord, that your presence would go forth. And Lord, that souls would be saved out of it. Lives would be changed and reconciled from it. And Lord, that you would make your name famous through us. And God, that you would use us for your glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. For some of you tonight, you don't know who Jesus is. So you're going, how do I have that kind of faith? First, you need grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. What does that mean? It means he died on that cross for your sins to be washed away clean. You can't do this, but he did it already for you. And he says, come to me and give me your heart in exchange and allow me to be the Lord of your life. And some of you need to give your heart and your life over to Jesus tonight. Maybe you've been running from God instead of to God. Tonight I'm talking to you. If you are in this room, I want you to examine yourself for a second. I want you to think about this. If you were to walk out of this room tonight and you were to get in a car accident, where would you end up? Would you end up in heaven or would you end up in hell? say, well, I hope I'd end up in heaven. Wait, did you know you can't hope your way into heaven? You can't think your way into heaven? You can't wish your way into heaven? Just by being good, did you know that you don't get to heaven by being good? That's a total false statement. Does not happen. Good people are in hell. Why? Because the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Asking him to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life. Leaving your sinful life behind and making him everything. Following him and allowing him to be the Lord over your life. You see, but I'm a mess. Pastor Jess, you don't know my past. Oh, I don't, but he does. You can't hide anything from God. You see, but I'm a mess. I got to clean myself up to get right with God. No, you don't. You got to come to God and he will help you clean up along the way. You say, well, okay. But at one time I did pray this prayer. I did give my heart and life to the Lord. I was running from God, and, you know, I remember I at youth camp a long time ago, I gave my life to God, or maybe it was at a concert, a Christian concert, or whatever it may be. But did you follow that up with living for Jesus Christ? Or were you living for yourself and in the world more than you were for living for Jesus? Learning his ways, following him, loving him, and allowing him to do something new in you. Tonight, that's called being lukewarm. Jesus talks about this in Revelation. He says, you're either hot or you're cold, but if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. You say, that's pretty harsh. Is it? A man who gave everything for you, his son, stripped bloody on a cross, gives us every access we have to come to him freely in whatever condition we are in, and he will forgive us and wash away our sins. But at the very end, he says, I do not know you if you deny him. Do not deny Christ today. Today is your opportunity to run to God. If you've never known him, today's your opportunity to make him Lord and know him personally. Have this incredible relationship where he can use you, where you can be loved and you can be healed. You will never know healing until you know Jesus. You will never know love until you allow Jesus' love to cover you. You will never know the goodness of God until you allow Jesus to be your Lord. And so tonight, he's calling you home. If you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, I want to give you that opportunity tonight. If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm talking to you. I want to give you that opportunity tonight. If you've been wondering and dabbling into all these different religions, I'm here to tell you that there is no other God except for Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, that no man comes to the Father except through him. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, none of them. None of them are gods. The only God is Jesus. So come and surrender your heart to him and give him your life, because he's calling you home. Because he created you, he loves you, and he wants to have a personal relationship with you. So this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to bang my hand on the pulpit like that. And when I do, you're going to raise your hand. You say, why would I raise my hand? Because the Bible says, Jesus is talking. He says, if you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father when you get to heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. This is your first chance, your first opportunity to be bold and to say, man, I'm a mess. I need Jesus. And raise your hand. I'll see it. And it's your confession. You're saying, yes, I want God. But you don't get saved just by raising your hand. Then we'll pray together. Okay, and I'm going to actually just pray with you right in your seats tonight, because we have some things that I want to do afterwards. And so get ready. If you need to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, get ready to raise your hand on the count of three. If you've been running from God instead of to God, he wants a personal relationship with you. It's time to give him all of your life tonight. If you've been dabbling into other things, I'm here to tell you, he's the one true God. Say yes to God tonight. Get ready on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hands. Keep them up so I can see them. I see that hand. Awesome, awesome. I see that hand. Anybody else? I don't have my glasses on. I should put them on. Sorry, guys. All right, wave them at me. Wave. Oh, I see the beautiful hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Is that a hand? No? Okay. 9, 10. Awesome. Anybody else? 11. Wonderful. See, they weren't embarrassed. I didn't embarrass them. Just wave your hand if you want to know Christ tonight. I don't want you to just leave here tonight not making sure you're right with the Lord. Anybody else? Anyone else? I'll just do a real quick sweep. Yes. Oh, 12. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Anyone else? Just say. Right here. I want to get right with Pastor Jess. I want to get right. All right, 12 people. Awesome. Let's just give them a hand. It's beautiful. I love it. I'm actually going to pray with you in your seats because God wants to do something right after this, and this is the Holy Spirit, and I would do things a little different tonight. And so everybody, I'm going to have you bow your head and close your eyes, and I'm going to pray, and you're going to repeat it after me. And if you miss a word, this isn't about the words that you're speaking. It's about the attitude of your heart. And so just repeat after me. Dear Father God, I come before you tonight, a sinner in need of a Savior. And I ask that you would forgive me of my sins, that you would come into my heart, and that you be the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Teach me your ways and show me how to live by your word. Today is the day that I leave hell behind. I leave my old ways behind, and I become a new creation in Christ Jesus. I will be forever changed and forever new in Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For all 12 of you that raised your hands, this is the best thing that could ever happen to you. You're going to look the same when you wake up tomorrow. Sorry, I know. We wish that everything would change, right? No. But you're going to smell the same. But I'm here to tell you, you're not the same on the inside because now you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. And so what do you do now? You got to keep coming back to church. You got to come. And we give away friends here at The Rock. We give away spiritual personal trainers. Pastor Joel, will you stand up for a second? Pastor Joel and his team after church, I'm going to have them come up front. So if you raise your hand, just come up because we have some material that will help you. What do I do now that I'm just gave God my life? And they will help you walk through that. We'll give away friends. They want to pray with you, and it's a good way for you to connect with someone and say, I did receive Christ. So right after church, please do that. Okay, so for the rest of you, I'm going to call the worship team out, and I just felt like the Lord just wanted to do something special tonight. Actually, it doesn't really have anything to do with the gift of faith, but I was praying, and there's a beautiful song that my husband and I, we went to this young adults. My daughter was preaching at our college. She goes to a Christian college, if you're wondering why. But she was preaching at this Christian college, and we, after Wednesday night, we were so old. It was like 9:30 at night. I had to drive down there. I was like dying. And we get in there, and we're in the back, and all these young people, and this song starts. And, man, these young people were prostrate on the ground, like prostrate. And I just thought, what a beautiful song this is. And so I wanted to bring it to you. But there's something I saw when they were practicing it tonight. The Lord, the creative Holy Spirit, I asked him, what do you want to do? He said, I want you to talk to them about the places that they need to get in faith for. I said, what do you mean? And he said, there's things in their lives that break them every day. There's places that they need freedom from. And there's heartache that traps them. But I want them to bring it to the altar tonight, and I want them to leave it there. And then I will give them a gift of faith to believe me for the impossible with it. It will no longer be a heartache, but it will be a journey of faith for them. And so this is what we're gonna do. There should be some papers at the end of your rows. Is that how we're doing it, Eden? Yeah, at the end of your rows, there's a stack of papers, each row. Go ahead and take one and pass it down. There should be some pencils too. I'm not sure if there's pencils there. I think Melissa was on it. Get a pen out. This side probably needs some paper, so we'll get it to you guys. Melissa, will you make sure that they get some paper on the sides? If you're back there, I want to wait for you because I think this is important. think it's in Nehemiah where he says, write it down and make it clear. We're going to write this down because Satan wants us to be trapped in the things we can't fix. But God's bigger than the things you can't fix. And he says, I need them to lay it at the altar. It might be your kids. It might be rejection. It might be pain. It might be something that has been tormenting you physically, some kind of a sickness, something that you are constantly thinking on. God wants to free you from that tonight. And I want you to write it down. Pull a pen out, write it down. It might be exams if you're a student. It might be, how am I going to pay these bills off? This money, it just keeps coming in, and I don't know what I'm going to do. It's piling up. I don't know. You know. It might be something as simple as a hangnail on your toe. I'm serious. God cares about the little things. Remember the faith of a mustard seed. What is that thing? And this is what we're going to do as they come out. Can I get somebody to come take this pulpit away? As they come out and they begin to sing, you don't have to do it right away. But first off, I want to open the altars for you to come and surrender it to God. But whatever you wrote, I want you to take a step of faith. And I want you to walk it up and I want you to drop it at the stairs of the altar. And I want you to leave it during this song. Now you're welcome to continue to worship at the altar if you would like, or you're welcome to go back to your seat if that's what you want to do. But when you feel prompted to come and drop it at the altar, go ahead and do that, okay? So let's enter into worship. Everybody stand up. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us, that you are a good, good Father. And Lord, we lift up these things that have so been a concern and a worry. God, we ask, God, that you would give us a gift of faith. And God, that you would begin to move powerfully in these areas. And as we lay them at the altar, Spirit of God, begin to move in supernatural ways that only you can move. Lord, begin to send laborers, begin to do some new things. God, change in us what needs to be changed. God, I pray, God, that you would change friends, God, that you would change atmospheres, that you would give new jobs, Lord, that you would give a new purpose, Lord, that you would do whatever needs to be done. And as they're placed at the altar, God, that you see them as a sweet fragrance to you, Spirit of God, a sweet fragrance to you, in the name of Jesus.
To We surrender. sit back and watch him. There's no waste at the altar.
Father, we thank you so much for tonight. I thank you that you invite us to the altar, to that holy place that you inhabit, where we can lay down every burden, every weight, every concern, every heartache, every limitation, everything that's holding us back from what you've called us to be, God. And that in that safe place, in that holy place, in that precious place, God, you give us yourself. You give us your sufficiency. You give us grace and you give us faith. And you tell us, son or daughter, I receive your offering and I give you life. I give you strength. I give you hope. I am with you. Father, I thank you that tonight, that every paper that's on this altar, that you see it, that you know the story that's behind it. You know how long they've waited, God. And you receive every one of them, Lord God. I thank you that you are going to be actively moving in our lives, leading us in our lives, drawing us, telling us where we need to have faith, God, where we need to trust you, where we need to know that you're more than enough, where we need to believe that you're working, where we need to know that you're faithful even when we don't see it. I thank you, God, that we take with us tonight your presence, your goodness, and a confidence that the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, the God in whom there is no limit, the God who is through and through good, through and through present, that you're taking our concerns and you're giving us yourself. You fill every need. You're more than enough. And we leave here tonight with hope. We leave here tonight with gratitude. We leave here tonight with a big yes on our hearts, God. As you show us the Goliath, we say, yes, we're going to take out the stone. We say, yes, we're going to trust you. We say, yes, we're going to do what you've asked us to do, even when we don't understand how it's going to work, because that's how faith is. So, Father, I thank you what you've deposited in us tonight. We exalt you. We worship you. We say, we are your children. We are your church. And we're paying attention to heaven and we're trusting you with every aspect of our life. Be glorified in your church. Be glorified as we go out and live this week in faith. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. We praise you, God. I feel like we need to leave giving thanks. Yeah, like we need to leave exalting his name. Those of you who are still at the altar, I don't want you to stay here with your burden. I want you to stay here with joy, knowing that God has heard you. God has seen your cry. God fills your heart. You're going to get up different. You're going to get up with gratitude. You're going to thank him, even though you don't understand how he's going to work. He's going to work because he's faithful and he's true. He's big enough and he's able. So let's exalt him and let's rejoice because he is good.
Praise the Lord.
And everything
that has
breath.
That has
breath.
Praise the Lord.
turn around and give someone a hug. Yeah, like just say hi. We need to love each other. And then I want you to go out and I want you to tell someone about Jesus this week. Use the gift of faith that God is going to bestow upon you because you are filled.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you and so do we.